It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939.
Long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Been around a while. Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous. Panini Pete Foundation, they're really rocking and rolling. They're fixing to open their juice bar over in Fairhope, I think, next week. And the pasta house is going to be cranked up within about 2 weeks at Panini Pete's in Fairhope. So, well, they just signed a new contract to put it something. I forget what kind of deal or food service they're putting in the bottom of the old First National Bank building where the Moon Pie place used to be.
Yeah.
So maybe we're thinking about adding, rather than just Moon Pie, we're going to add a beignet to that, have there a beignet drop.
There you go. Might as well. But I tell you, it's fine people, fine food for sure. But everywhere they're serving, yeah. So, but anyway, we're coming up on Memorial weekend.
Right.
Of course, we always want to remember our
fallen
soldiers.
Right,
and,
fallen
Patriots.
Veterans, yes.
Thank God for what they've gave and what they did for us. That we get to be free and be here.
Yes. And that's a real big weekend in the Mobile area. For that as well, there'll be a service at Battleship at 7 o'clock Saturday morning, and the flag will be raised over there and get the Memorial Day started. Then they'll have an event at the cemetery on Virginia Street. Mm-hmm. Then they go to, Arlington South, which is at Spanish Fort, or Veterans Cemetery over there.
Yeah.
Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette, and my group, the P.L. Wilson Detachment, will be doing the firing the 21-gun salute and probably the doing the bugle work there on that. That's Saturday morning, I think it's 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big weekend for all the veterans and,
Oh, yeah.
Everything's going on there.
Absolutely. Just, ask everybody to remember it's not just a day off holiday weekend. It has more meaning than that. So,
oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, we had a big weekend this past Saturday over at the Battleship with the Blue Star salute there, and had the Blue Star, the 5K run, whatever, 4K, whatever it was over there. I know I was over there about half a day and got burnt totally out.
I was wondering what was going on over there. I was watching the news Saturday morning, and there's a bunch of tents. Of course, they've got camera on top of the ship.
Right.
And they're showing the parking lot. And
we had one of those tents over there for a while until the wind tore it up.
You better anchor them down out there.
Well, I had Marines on all four corners. had 200 pounds at least on each post.
You still got all four of them?
The tent's gone. it broke my leg on the tent. It's one of those little small tents that we had bought and used a couple of times. You just can't use those for that kind of event.
Well, even the bigger tents, like we use at the racetrack, I've seen those take off and go over.
Oh,
yeah.
There was some ladies that put a tent up out there and had a bunch of the candied apples and a bunch of nice sugary items that they were selling to everybody. And they turned around and went and said, that tent went down about four tents down the road, rolling down the road there. But we had, I think, 40-something vendors out there. It was a good VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations, a lot of representation there, so it was awesome.
Yeah, that's great. But I know this coming up, being a holiday weekend coming up, everybody's going to be, the ones that can afford enough gas are going to be out on the road running around trying to get out and play.
That is so true, Kev, but I heard on the radio today a figure that I hadn't even thought about, and it said that back 2 years ago we would probably spend $2,100 a year on gas for our vehicles.
Well, you can at least double that.
Well, now they're saying it's $4,200.
Right.
I mean, who the hell's got $4,200? You got to take food off the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's wrong.
When you're doubling what you're spending every month on fuel.
Right.
You know, just to do the things that you got to do.
Well, you know, the other part of that, Kevin, you're aware of it. Well, we have that. Then that changes our whole economy, because then we start talking about what it costs for fuel for the diesel trucks that move all this stuff around.
Yep.
Then so the price of food goes up. So gas goes up, food goes up, and your pay doesn't go up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So all of a sudden you come up short, you know, a couple of $1,000 a month.
Well, you know, there's if you got to spend more money on fuel, you're going to spend less money elsewhere.
Right.
You know, to make up for it. I mean, it's simple economics. You can't spend money you don't have.
You can't go
for a little while.
Right.
But you can't get away from.
You can't go to your boss. You can't go in the boss and say, "Look, gas has gone up. So you got, I got to have a raise this week, and then next week, gas went up higher. I got to have another raise."
Right.
It don't work that way.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go in there the first time, you better ask for enough to get you through for a while. So.
Well, you know what the big excuse is going to be now is when people don't come to work. I'm sorry, I'm out of gas. I'm not going to be sick anymore. I'm not going to have to take the kids to the doctor. I'm sorry, I'm out of gas, and I don't have any more money to buy gas with.
We got a couple people at work that are starting to ride motorcycles, something that's going to get 60, 70 mile per gallon.
Yeah.
Yeah, to drive back and forth to work.
Look out, bicycle business. Here it comes.
Yeah. Well, I'm about 9 miles from work, and I ain't riding no bicycle.
I ain't either. I might do something else, but no, my old legs and feet won't let me do that anymore anyway.
Well, my old hot rods may sit at the house a little bit more this than normal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to bike.
You're not going to get that 55 Chevrolet out, man?
I will.
Bark the tires a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to get it out and play with it some. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't got that hard up yet, so we're going to get it out. Matter of fact, we got the Power Tour coming in through in June. I think 16th they'll be in Pensacola. And I'm going to take a day off, go over and play around a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now tell us about the Power Tour.
Well, the Power Tour is actually, it's the Hot Rod Power Tour. It's been going on for 20-something years, I think.
Okay.
And it's a group of guys that get together. They go and they do drag racing at different venues along the route. They're starting in Nashville, I think, and go to Memphis, and go to Birmingham, then Pensacola, and then to Atlanta, all in a 4 or 5 day ride.
Okay.
And people just they'll start out at the
so it's kind of like
a
2 or 3 week vacation for some guys.
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, you're doing it, like I say, you're doing it back to back. I mean, you'll go to an event. And you'll drive through and be there and be at the next event the next day.
Okay. Okay.
But there'll be a bunch of hot rods running around.
Well, yours certainly fits the bill there, being a fine classic automobile and a hot rod, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to make the whole tour, but I am going to meet up there in Pensacola and hang out.
Hey, that's cool.
Look around a little bit and get out and play.
There you go.
It's always interesting to see it.
That's why you burn that midnight oil in the shop, man, with those toys.
Well, that's hot rod. I mean, that's race car stuff most of the time.
Yeah.
Luckily, my hot rods are all together right now. So that's the nice thing about them is usually they're together and running and I don't get them tore up. You know, now the race cars, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. So, there you go.
But matter of fact, we got to get to work on the truck because we're running the truck Friday night in Pensacola and the Outlaw in Pensacola. I mean, Mobile Saturday night. So we got to get to work on the truck.
So no trucks, ready. No trucks Saturday night in Mobile.
No, they're not running the trucks here.
Okay. So, well, they had 16 last time. That was
16. Had a really good show. Some really good trucks, and we ended up winning last time out at Mobile. So, hopefully we can. Do the same thing in Pensacola when we go back over there.
Oh, that's cool. Get the setup right, man. You know?
We've already won once over there this year and twice in Mobile this year. So
you bad.
With it. So.
You know you bad, babe.
Hey, you know. All it takes is preparation. Yeah. All it takes is getting prepared. But,
all right.
You know.
Well, that's all. You know, and y'all do a real good job of it. You and your crew and your good little drivers there doing a fine job. So we'll talk about that more later on.
Yeah.
In the show tonight, but I think we're fixing to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have the pleasure of talking to one of our school board members here, Brother Johnny Hatcher. that's running for a school board in Mobile County. And it's just neat to have him on board and kind of hear, you know, what he's got to say and what he thinks ought to be done and how he thinks he's going to be able to do it. So it's just neat to have all that happen. Yeah.
Well, right around Memorial Day is a good time to get out and vote because, you know, it's
yes, that is a big day tomorrow. Right.
People gave their lives for your right to go out and vote.
Right.
And it's time for you to get out there and exercise that right. But we'll get back with Johnny when we get back here after these messages. But we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
When there's no one there beside me till I hold you once again.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillac.
Putting wheels on the Cadillac, yeah, I hear that. Tom Claxton here with you on this segment here talking with our good friend, Brother Johnny Hatcher, running for the school board. And Johnny, we've seemed to be having problems down there, I would think, because I understand there's $650 million allocated to our school board, and I don't see it. Where could it be going?
Buddy, the short answer, bureaucracy at central office.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
I can just tell you this. It's just short of $650 million. But we've had COVID monies interjected in for the past 3 years.
Right.
It's
a lot of it.
It's way over that.
Yeah.
And it's not making it to the kids. Listen, we don't have a teacher problem. We've got very qualified teachers, passionate teachers, and they're not being allowed to teach.
Right.
I'm telling you, central office is our problem. Right. They're eating up the money. There's jobs down there that even – the superintendent said he has no idea why they're there, what they do.
Mm.
They need to go.
Right. Well, it's being run like a corporate structure that has a bottomless pit to suck money out of, so they don't have to worry about people performing their duties. You know, and the teachers are getting it put on their shoulders in their room, and there's other areas that needs to be looked at, but. We all, you know, and we need some new schools. We need some other, especially out in the West Mobile area, and you know, and our population is going west. It's leaving downtown.
Tom,
everything's going west, baby.
This didn't just happen.
No,
this has been going on for 30 years. We've seen this coming,
right?
And nobody has thought to put any money aside to build another school out there. We need a school in between Baker and Mary G. Montgomery to alleviate that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that.
Right.
I'm telling you, they're busting at the seams. Now, you've got a good principal out there at Baker.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Peru, right. One of the finest men I ever met in my life, the guy gets it. He is smart. He knows what's going on out there.
Good.
I sat out there and talked to that man for well over an hour, and I'm telling you, if I had my vote tomorrow, I'd make that guy the superintendent.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I'm just telling you, he gets it.
Well,
and that's what we need. The bureaucracies run rampant down there.
Well, how come we have the meetings at 10 a.m. down there? Why couldn't we have them later in the day when the parents are getting off from school and being able to come down and participate?
Tom, you know good and well they used to have them.
Right.
Later. They done that to divide and conquer.
Oh.
That's to silence the parents.
Right.
They don't want the parents and teachers interacting like they used to. They have driven a wedge between them. Let me tell you something. You've got some fine teachers out there. I mean, some very good teachers. Hey, teachers are like gardeners. They want to cultivate and grow and see a finished product and be proud of
it.
Look, they're being forced to push these kids through school. They don't want to pass them.
Right.
And they're told you have to do it.
Right.
And that's a problem. And it makes them look bad, and they leave.
They feel bad about it.
Yeah, they do. They feel bad. They know these children are leaving there with no academic education or no trade. When they leave like that, where do they end up?
Well,
the prison system.
Yeah. You know,
it's full of them.
That's one of the things that I always wondered because, you know, back in the day when we came up through school, we had all the trade schools involved in our schools. And, I mean, the girls had four or five different things that they could go to and learn to, you know, home take care of the home, cooking and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got college girls that can't boil water.
brother.
I mean, you've got
worse than that. You've got kids right now that can't read a dial clock. They cannot read it. If it's not digital, they can't read it.
Well, I don't know where we're going with it. And then we get involved with, with all the transgender participation in sports and the unisex bathrooms. And, I mean, what the hell's going on?
Buddy, let me tell you this. Everybody, you know, it's just like I've said. I want to be proactive, not reactive.
Right.
Everybody said, oh, Common Core, it's not coming. Kay Hivey lies on TV, on her ads. We outlaw Common Core. Bull crap. That's why we're 52nd in math, because of that.
Yeah.
Hey, if it was good enough for Sir Isaac Newton, it should be good enough for us.
I would think so.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, we continue to lower standards, and to our students. And overall, now, then that brings everybody down. And
let me tell you why they're doing that.
Okay.
This is exactly why. No Child Left Behind. It's called tier teaching. You have kids that are average kids, and then you have kids that are low kids, special education. Now, these kids are special education, have learning disabilities. I've got three of them. I've adopted five children. I have eight children. I have three that are biological that I raised through Mobile County Public Schools. Every one of them graduated. Every one of them are successful. My son was the hardest one. Let me tell you something. We had to beat that boy to make him go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. We got him through it. He's very successful. Tommy's got his own business. He does well. The kid makes more money than I make. And I don't do bad. I do okay.
You're not hungry.
If you woke up with my kind of money, you'd probably jump out a window or something.
But, I hear you.
But you take these kids, and what they've done is they say, okay, well, they can't tier teach, so the average kids are dropping down. So the state continues to lower the bar. But here's my thing. We don't have to do that. Mobile County can raise the bar as high as we want to. We just can't go below it.
Right.
I say let's raise it to the roof.
Let's be
higher than anybody else, and let's start with these kids. Hey, I don't want to go to K-5. I want to start at K-3. These kids are like sponges at that age.
Sure they are.
And let me tell you something. They can learn. You've got other countries learning 2 and 3 languages.
Right.
Let me tell you something. We can't even hardly get ours to speak proper English.
Yeah, we can't speak English, you know.
Yeah, so it's we got issues, bub. Yeah. And again, this is not your teachers. Your teachers want to teach. You've got central office now in there, compiled with a bunch of bureaucrats that are going out there telling them what they can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
You let that teacher teach. Let me tell you something. It's no different, than anything else. You cannot give them all the responsibility and no control and expect them to work miracles.
Right, right.
It's not going to happen.
That's so true. Yeah.
We gotta put it back in the teacher's hands.
Yeah. And do you have some particular goals that you're looking forward to, being able to help implement or help make them
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Look, it's not a ploy, me putting donating my entire salary. Let's be honest. It's $750 a month. Tom, that ain't going to do much for anybody. That's going to pay for gas is all it's going to do at this day and age.
Yeah.
But if I take and donate that entire salary, I can go straight over there to Airbus and say, hey, look, I need y'all to put this into this education fund for these children, the scholarship fund for these children.
Right.
And I can say, look, I'm asking you because I'm led by example. I've put my entire salary in there. And I'll tell you this. I'm not going to tell them it's that little bit of money. I want them to think it's a lot of money because I want as much as I can get from them.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, when I go to each one of them, Evonix and all these other places, I can stand up and I can look at them and I can browbeat them. Look, give me the money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need this because there's other kids. There's academic scholarships all over the place. Is there any scholarship programs out there for anybody to get a trade?
No.
There's
not that I know of.
We need to focus on this. Here's my goal, Tom. You want to know what my goal is? My goal is to raise the academic bar. The kids who can make it, make it. The kids who can't reach that, we're going to have them. I want them to leave Mobile County School with either an education or a skill, one or the other.
They need to be able to make a living.
And I don't want them to leave without it.
Right.
I don't want to push them through. I want to make sure we help out with our prisons. That's what I want to do. Because I tell you, if we do this, the prisons, the overcrowding in prison will stop.
Right.
Trust me.
Well, our kids are coming out of high school and they're still having trouble, finding a job.
They're unemployable.
Right.
There's jobs everywhere.
Yeah.
But they're unemployable. If you can't tell what the second hand of a clock is, you got a problem, bub.
Yep. Well, and they have trouble counting money.
Absolutely.
You know,
I'm going to tell you something. If they can't put it in that machine that tells them what to give them back, you want to mess them up, I tell you what you do. If it's like $12.35, turn around and say, well, I tell you what, I got 35 cents, and give them a 20 with that 35 right. cents. You'll screw them up. They won't know what to do.
Right. Well, they'd have to get a calculator out or get the phone. Get your phone out.
They may have
out,
to get a manager.
Yeah, manager. Yeah. But it's just pitiful that we're putting them out on the street like that when we have so many millions of damn dollars that are being spent on education, but it's not the education is not getting to the heads and brains of the kids.
The only reason you see the industry coming here like it is has nothing to, they were Sandy Stimson will tell you this. He had to go and tell them because the school systems were so bad. He had to say, listen, that's not where all the kids are getting educated. Come out here to UMS. Come out here to McGill. Faith Academy, right. All these schools. Guess what?
Private schools.
Yes. Guess what? The only school that is and I think it's the high school years, is UMS in high school is maybe $15,000 a year. We're paying $13,200. I don't see the value. We got buying power.
Right, right.
They don't have the kind of buying power we have.
Right.
Let me tell you something. It's ludicrous. What we're doing isn't working. And it's a common sense approach. All you have to do is look into it, find out where all the money's going. Don't look at the whole numbers don't look at the whole numbers that they feed you. Get them to break it down.
Right.
Find out how many people are related to each other. That's what you're going to want
to
do.
I think the Tesla man just found out that about Twitter.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. The figures weren't correct.
Exactly. And let me tell you, they're not out there either. The money's not making it to the teachers, right. And it damn sure ain't making it to the kids.
Right. It's not, and it's not buying the education that we're paying for.
Special education children, teachers go through more than you'll ever know. They have these children. They have to work extra hard to help. Not only that, they're inundated with paperwork.
Yes.
They devote their heart and soul to it. Let me tell you something. If we give them an aid in that classroom, imagine just how much more education their children could get.
Sure.
Something that simple. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you on board and getting your opinion.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing your name on the ballot tomorrow.
Well, good. I appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you guys so
much for having
me. Johnny Hatcher,
school board. I think he won his vote. You want their vote?
I want their vote.
All right.
I want your vote. Please come out tomorrow and vote Johnny Hatcher for school board. I promise you two things. I will not embarrass you, nor will I disappoint you.
There you go.
You will be proud to have me on there.
There you go.
I assure you of that.
All right. And we're going to get a word from our fine sponsors here, and then we'll be right back with Kevin Ray Winkle's Car Doctor and see if we can get some call-ins for it and fix some cars.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Ray Winkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But in the meantime, we've got Gina from Mobile International Speedway on the phone with us. Gina, with us?
I'm here.
Hey, sounds good. First and foremost, I do want to thank you for letting us get out there and make some laps for Bob the other weekend from Bob's Speed Shop. You know, we lost Bob here, but we were able to put something together and get brought the 42 car and Wampum Wagon out and had a little memorial flag for Bob that we flew behind our car and got to get out and do that. I do appreciate you letting us do that.
Of course. I mean, he was such an integral part of racing from all the stories I've heard. He is what kept some racers going for a long, long time.
Yeah, I tell you, it's the stories could go on forever, so and they will. But it's a special guy, a big, big part of local racing on the drag strip and around track. Heck, the man's changed tires everywhere from Daytona to Nashville to everywhere else around. sold tires everywhere, parts for, most of the race cars that raced around this area for many, many, many years. So he's definitely going to be missed for sure. But,
man, he was in racing for a very long time. And in my experience, anyone that was in racing for that long that didn't get super rich did it right.
Right,
that's
right.
He gave back to a lot of racers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why he was able to do it for so long, because, you know, people knew that he wasn't trying to take advantage of them, and he was there to enjoy being around the racers and help them out and watch them get out there and race until his health started getting down a little bit. I don't know that he missed more than a handful of races over the last 50 years at Mobile. Yeah.
Wow.
He was definitely a fixture around the racetrack. But
we're going to have to name a race after him and race it every year. That's for sure.
Yep. Sounds like a great deal. But speaking of racing, we got another race coming up this weekend.
We sure do.
Yep. So what classes are we running? I know we're running the Outlaw because we'll have it there. But who else we got running with us?
The Modifieds are running. Then we have the Pure Stock, the Sportsman. And we're going to be running the Wheelman Series cars from Texas.
Okay.
They're the ones that we are running an adaptive set of rules that Ricky made.
Yeah.
Just so we can kind of transition these guys here.
Mm-hmm.
And get the cars transitioned. So I'm trying to get my finger on how many we're going to have. Some of those guys that are building brand new Wheelman Series cars, parts are stalled, I'll say. So we might not have a great count on them, but we're still going to try to get them together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can attest that, we put a new body on the truck and Outlaw during the off season, and we've been buying parts for new car, a little as we go. And I can attest that it's hard to get your hand on racing parts right now.
It is very, very crazy.
It come down to the wire to get a windshield for the truck. It was the last thing I was able to put in, and we went to the racetrack because just couldn't get one. Just couldn't make it happen. So, it's definitely tough right now for anybody trying to put a new piece together, and even just keeping up the ones that are already together. But the Wheelman cars, they're similar in appearance to the Outlaws, right?
Correct.
Okay.
They are. Very, very similar, but it's a good set of rules, and if you watch them, watch them on Racing America,
mm-hmm.
see how many there are. There's always a lot trying to make the show, and their times are really, really close. So that always kind of tells me that's, something going on there that's good.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you definitely want to see a good competitive class. You want to see your top 10 cars, on top of each other when it comes to, like qualifying times and that.
Right.
Because, I mean, I know for years we had, even in the Super Stock and Pure Stock division, we had 40 cars there every night and had to split them up in separate features and all that. But any night, you could have any one of 10 to 12 cars win. It was just a toss up as to who got out front first,
Right.
That's when you've got it going on with your race series is that you've got that many competitive cars and competitive drivers, and they're there every week. Yeah.
And that's the goal. That is the goal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. Absolutely. But, you got any special deals for people getting in the stands? Or I know you got stands open back up and concessions open there for them.
Right. All veterans, military, get in free. If they're in uniform, we're going to, recognize them or have them help us recognize some others.
Right.
We're giving away checker flags to the kids. First 100 kids in, get a checker flag. We're doing the meet and greet on the racetrack. So.
Yeah,
I encourage the racers to get some, autograph cards. I've printed some.
Right.
I have some Bob Speed Shop stickers we're going to give out to the racers to put on their cars.
There you go.
Didn't have them in time in the last race, but they're ready now. So.
Well, and it was a very short notice deal there. We lost Bob on Wednesday, and we were racing on Saturday. So it just trying to even think about what to do and then try and put it together, it was quick to try and get together. So,
definitely.
Even like the flag we had behind the 42 car, it was still hot from pressing the lettering on it when I got in the truck to head to the racetrack. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it looked great. Yeah. It looked great.
I appreciate that. My wife put a lot of effort in that. I just helped her press it. So yeah, that was all on her. So she did a great job with it. But
well, it worked out good. But we'll definitely gonna have the kind of the similar things we had before. That meet and greet is gonna be, you know, kind of a staple. I'd like to keep it that way for the fans to meet the racers. We're going to do, you know, we're going to do the draw. If we do any inverts, we're going to do the draw on it, or, you know, something fun. The dice isn't quite finished.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to make a totally new one. I think this one is DOA.
Well, it's made a trip or two down the banking there at Mobile, I promise you. It's been around
it
a while.
It.
It's been around a while. But, yeah, it's treated as nice a few times, and it's definitely been mean to us a few times too. So, but
well, that's racing right there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, and you know, a fan vote, I'm okay with, you know, it or something to do the invert, get them involved. Yeah, get the fans involved.
Right.
Let them do some stuff. But you know, I definitely appreciate the interaction with the fans there before the race, let them come down, look around, talk, shake hands, get some autographs. You know, we've been missing that for the last several seasons, that, you know, before the track had shut down there. But, you know, we just, you know, it used to be, even after the races were over, you spent an hour talking to fans and signing autographs after the race was over before you could even get your car loaded up. You know, because
definitely
they were all coming down and talking.
The appeal of finishing early in Houston, we'd be done by 9:30, and we would run, you know, 8-9 classes.
Yeah.
Here, everyone kind of at first said, "No, we run late, we go late." But I feel like it's important to finish, you know, 9:30.
Yeah.
By 10, 9:30 preferably is what I would prefer, because that lets people come in the pit.
Right.
And you know, get. Like it was, I remember the pits were like the night, the end of the night. We would be at that pit gate just waiting for that
right.
thing to open, because you just couldn't wait to get in the pit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a big deal. I mean, everybody had pictures and that to sign and give out to the kids. And you may have seen the same kids every week, but they were down there talking to you. You know, and that's fine.
Definitely.
You know.
Yeah, but they were hollering and screaming in the stands too while you were racing.
They were hollering and screaming.
Yeah,
And those are either our drivers and or pit crews or people that are helping out around or still in the grandstands today.
Right. Or sponsors,
because,
kids and all. Even.
Because all that was embedded in them and how much fun they had down there, you know, they just wanted to keep coming back. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's the only way you keep this thing going is bring new generations in. Yeah.
Very true.
So.
Very true. You have to try different things. You have to do things differently. I went to Texas this weekend with Advanced Auto Parts, and where I was watching what all they do, and they do so much, and some of it's a far reach, I think, you know, what they're doing to entertain people. But at the same time, it brings in a new element, you know, of fans, and that's what you kind of have to do to help things, you know, grow and attract different people and new blood around the racetrack.
Right, right.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to get the go out and knock on doors at businesses and that, and say, here's a few tickets. You know, get some of your people to come out and see what we're doing out here on the weekends. You know,
definitely.
Yeah, you get them in the stands, and they're going to be back, because it's a good show. You know, it really is. And you know, we had some drivers upset last time and showing their, you know what, on the front straightaway a little bit, you know. But hey, if they're going to do it, make them
racing,
do it on the,
man.
Yeah, if they're going to do it, make them do it on the front straightaway.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
You know,
that's part of
yeah.
the show.
It's,
that's right.
Yeah, you don't want them to do it on the back straightaway in the pits where no one sees it.
Well,
yeah, so,
one of the, and I think here's another area of the local racing that we haven't mentioned before is the fact that the concessions and all that you have out there are now getting to be really unbelievable. And I've heard some awesome remarks about the hamburgers. So when we're going to take this little short break,
mm-hmm.
and we'll come back, and then you can tell us about the hamburger, because I need to know more about it.
It was good. I mean, I will say that. It was very good this last weekend.
All right.
And
all right.
Everybody was commenting on them last weekend for sure. But sounded like
love it.
We up to a break here? All right. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back with Gina after these messages.
Who is a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway? Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling for eight from Chicago to St. Louis. Lord, I see her every day.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have Gene on the phone with us from Mobile International Speedway still. But I know Tom went off. You know, he's going to go off on the food. You know, tangent.
Oh yeah, got
you
know, to have the groceries, man.
No matter what we're talking about. But yeah. You know, I will give credit where credit's due because I was impressed with the hamburgers and everybody in our little group there was too Saturday night.
I love that. You know, that was a labor of love. Every weekend, we would have a bunch of friends come up and help us work on the property, or we'd have a big group, and that was like the off-season goal was to find a good burger.
Right.
And through trial and error and a bunch of mouths and opinions, that's what we all settled upon. And I love it. I was excited that that everybody enjoys it. I love that because it took a while to find it.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's you got to be able to put a decent product out there and do it at a price where you can still make money at it, you know. And you know, sure, you can put a great burger out there, but then you know people can't afford it. So you know,
that's right. That's exactly right. There's so many variables to it that you have to do, and it's even harder now with the way prices are. But I think we've got a hit, and now we can, you know. Now we can focus on dressing it up or adding stuff, you know, to it to serve with it, some good fries or something like that. But,
you know,
this last race, the first race kicked her butt. We had, you know, we had to put it back in the old concession stand equipment because our new used got fried with the electrical.
Mm-hmm.
And that slowed us down because some of that surface didn't quite work, so we got behind the first concession, the first race.
Right.
And lines were long, but this race, man, we were ready. I made sure we had plenty of food, and we were overstaffed. And I think we've found a good team. I think we found our good concession stand flow, so I'm excited about it.
There you go. Absolutely. I mean, and as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's all about putting the little pieces together to make everything work, you know.
Exactly.
I know you were doing the promoting in Houston there for a long time, but it's a little different deal when you're having to do every piece of it. So.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Quite overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can't even imagine what it would take to put on the whole event and keep the facility up and all that and make sure everything's there and ready for it. But, you know, you're doing a great job. I do appreciate everything you're doing at Speedway. You know, that's home for us. We've been racing out there for,
30-some years.
Seven, 8 years, somewhere there. And, you know, it's been home. You know, of course, we've raced Pensacola and all that. And, you know, I've been working on building and or driving cars out there for that long. And
it's 40 years, Kevin, because you were working with helping me on my car in like 80 and 81.
Yeah. 82. I mean, it's
you brought me back to the shop one night, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So
we had to rebuild a car in the pits.
Oh yeah. Been there, done that. So been there and done
that. That's what makes this place so great. I can't tell you how many times we've had challenges with the facility and someone has called me or reached out that this place was, you know, sentimental to them or they'd been coming to it and they have helped us. Either with knowledge or donated their time or knew the challenge we were up against and how to tackle it, like the electrical and different things. And, man, that is – those kind of things along with racers, you know, thanking you or coming up and telling you a story or telling you your burger's good. Those are the kind of things that help you keep going forward.
Right, right. Well, it just tells you that, you know, someone does appreciate the efforts you've made, and, you know, it makes it worthwhile to go out there and keep making the effort. You know, it's, you know, if you work and work and work and work and no one seems to appreciate it, then you tend to quit working at it. You know, so.
Definitely. Or you lose your mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One of the other things that's been interesting, too, is to see the car count. And the total car count that you've had it on it given nights, I can recall over the last 3, 4, 5 years when there'd be nights out there we didn't have but 35, 40 cars, you know, and that's not a show.
Right. That's a struggle, and I'm going to tell you, that keeps me up at night. Yep. That is very important because I'm a firm believer that car count brings your fans.
Right.
And they go hand in hand. And that is super, super important to me because that is how we build an incredible short track program.
Right,
The car count.
Yeah.
And car count, it leads to everything positive. Everything positive. When you've got a lot of racers coming, it creates a good flow of things, and things, you know, get good and get better.
Right. And with the car count, you put on a better show, a more interesting show for your spectators and or the racers themselves, because they enjoy more of being able to race, you know, in front of a crowd and put on a decent show.
100%. I think that this, just coming from Texas and where it's at with one track left and where it was, and seeing it over my 50 years transition in and out, where we're at over here is all, you know, a track's an hour up the road. I think it's very important that we work together, because if we did, I think we could have our own little racing hub here, just like North Carolina.
Right.
Look at the caliber of racers we have.
Oh, Lord, yes.
The team, pit crew guy, I mean, everything. It's all right here. I mean, and if we can find that synergy where we can work together and not over race the racers, we race them too much, we're going to divide the racers. If we divide the racers and make them choose, then ultimately we're going to present a subpar show. We're not going to be presenting the best show possible. If we work together and don't race so much on our local guys and grow it, I think it'd be incredible racing.
Yeah.
And it's just a natural rivalry with the track, between the tracks, to promote. So
absolutely.
I'm excited about what's going on here this year, and I'm excited to be able to, you know, sit down, hopefully, with all the other, you know, with Stan or Tim, and really sit down and say, okay, how can we make this great?
Right, right.
You know, really, between us, what can we do? I mean, not all racers are going to travel, but I feel like if you don't have a lot of, you know, local shows against each other, they will travel.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's not going to travel every time, but if you can get, you know, 4, 5, 10 of your drivers to go to Pensacola and or go to Op and or Montgomery and race on off weekends, their guys will start coming down. You know, once they get to racing with our guys, and they're like, you know, these are pretty decent guys. You know, we'll go race with them. So they'll come down here and they'll do the same, and we'll start drawing from their tracks. You know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Racers are very ego driven. At least they are in my family. And you go if one guy goes up and beats one guy, and he comes back, and a guy that beats him at his local track will say, man, if he went up there and beat them, I bet I can go up there and beat them. And then ultimately they pull some down here.
Right.
And it just kind of works. It works good. And like you said, they're not going to do it all the time, but I think that it's done. It will be done enough, and it'll promote strong, you know, racing.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a racer, I've done it for years. You know, there's nothing I like more to go to someone else's racetrack and outrun them. You know,
hey,
so, you
know,
there you go. That's that ego I was talking about, right?
That's right. You know, so it's, I love doing that, you know, and it's, sometimes it takes a couple trips to figure it out, but, you know, it's,
Well, that, look at Freddie Fryer. That was what he was king of.
Yeah.
He did it in Houston at the half mile I grew up at.
Yep.
You know, my dad was had a bounty put on him, and nobody could beat him. And Freddie told me that I came over here, it took me three races, but I did it.
There you go.
And, you know, that's what he did. He was smooth.
He was the man. He was the man, that's for sure. Virginia, it looks like we've run up to the end of our hour tonight, but I do appreciate you calling in and talking to us about racing at Mobile International. What time do they kick off Saturday night?
Well, the gates are going to open at 5:30, and the racing will start at 7:30.
There you go.
We'll have the meet and greet at 6:30, so everyone come in for that.
There you go. Sounds good. Anyway, I appreciate you calling in tonight, and I think we'll probably be taking off next weekend, so it'll be a best of show. But,
right.
I do appreciate it, and we'll be back the week after.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.